This is Radio 3. It's 10:15. 85 years ago this week, BBC Radio began broadcasting the weather forecast on a daily basis. In celebration of this national obsession, Words and Music this evening is called A Change in the Weather. The readers are Niamh Cusack and Mark Strong.
Now here's today's weather commentary. Most parts of the British Isles, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales, Northern and Western England, including the North and West Midlands, had a bright day, rather cooler generally than yesterday, but with long sunny periods. In these areas, many places had more than 9 hours of sunshine, and it was mainly dry, though scattered showers occurred in parts of Northern Ireland and Scotland, especially in North Scotland.
Busy old fool, unruly son, why dost thou thus through windows and through curtains call on us? Must to thy motions lovers' seasons run? Saucy pedantic wretch, go chide late schoolboys and sour prentices. Go tell court huntsmen that the king will ride. Call country ants to harvest offices. Love all alike, no season knows, nor clime, nor hours, days, months, which are the rags of time. Thy beam so reverend and strong, why shouldst thou think? I could eclipse and cloud them with a wink, but that I would not lose her sight so long. If her eyes have not blinded thine, look, and tomorrow late tell me whether both the Indias of spice and mine be where thou left'st them, or lie here with me. Ask for those kings whom thou sawst yesterday, and thou shalt hear all here in one bed lay. She's all states and all princes, aye, nothing else is. Princes do but play us. Compared to this, all honours mimic, all wealth alchemy. Thou, son, art half as happy as we, in that the world's contracted thus. Thine age asks ease, and since thy duties be to warm the world, that's done in warming us. Shine here to us, and thou art everywhere. This bed thy centre is, these walls, thy sphere.
Thank you. There never was a finer day, and never will be, while May is May, the third and not the last of its kind. But though fair and clear, the two behind seemed pursued by tempests overpast, and the morrow with fear that it could not last was spoiled. Today, ere the stones were warm, 5 minutes of thunderstorm dashed it with rain, as if to secure by one tear its beauty the luck to endure. At midday, then, along the lane, old Jack Noman appeared again, jaunty and old, crooked and tall, and stopped and grinned at me over the wall with a cowslip bunch in his buttonhole and one in his cap. Who could say if his roll came from flints in the road, the weather, or ale? He was welcome as the nightingale. Not an hour of the sun had been wasted on Jack. "I've got my Indian complexion back," said he. He was tanned like a harvester, like his short clay pipe, like the leaf and burr that clung to his coat from last night's bed, like the ploughland crumbling red. Fairer flowers were none on the earth than his cowslips wet with the dew of their birth, or fresher leaves than the cress in his basket. "Where do they come from, Jack?"
"Don't ask it, and you'll be told no lies."
"Very well, then I can't buy."
"I don't want to sell. Take them, and these flowers too, free.
Perhaps you have something to give me."
"Wait till next time, the better the day. The Lord couldn't make it better, I say. If he could, he never has done."
So off went Jack with his roll, walk, run, leaving his cresses from Oakshot Rill and his cowslips from Wetham Hill. 'Twas the first day that the midges bit, but though they bit me, I was glad of it. Of the dust in my face, too, I was glad. Spring could do nothing to make me sad. Bluebells hid all the ruts in the copse. The elm seeds lay in the road like hops that fine day, May the 23rd. The day Jack Noman disappeared.
Oh,
O keen, pellucid air. Nothing can lurk or disavow itself on this bright day. The small rain plashes shine from far away. The tiny emmet glitters at his work. The bee looks blithe and gay, and as she plies her task and moves and sidles round the cup of this spring flower to drink its honey up, her glassy wings, like oars that dip and rise, gleam momently. Pure-bosomed, clear of fog, the long lake glistens, while the glorious beam bespangles the wet joints and floating leaves of water plants, whose every point receives his light. And jellies of the spawning frog, unmarked before, like piles of jewels seen.
It will not always be like this. The air windless, a few last leaves adding their decoration to the tree's shoulders, braiding the cuffs of the boughs with gold, a bird preening in the lawn's mirror. Having looked up from the day's chores, pause a minute. Let the mind take its photograph of the bright scene, something to wear against the heart in the long cold.
The sunlight on the garden hardens and grows cold. We cannot cage the minute within its nets of gold. When all is told, we cannot beg for pardon. Our freedom as freelancers advances towards its end. The earth compels, upon its sonnets and birds descend. And soon, my friend, we shall have no time for dances. The sky was good for flying, defying the church bells, and every evil iron siren and what it tells. The earth compels. We are dying, Egypt, dying, and not expecting pardon, hardened in heart anew, but glad to have sat under thunder and rain with you, and grateful, too, for sunlight on the garden.
And I hurried down to the deep rolling sea. But my eye could not see it, wherever might be it, the bark that is bearing my lover to me. Blow the wind southerly, southerly, southerly. Blow, bonnie breeze, o'er the bonnie blue sea. Blow the wind southerly, southerly, southerly. Blow, bonnie breeze, and bring him to me. Is it not sweet to hear the breeze singing, as lightly it comes o'er the deep rolling sea? But sweeter and dearer by far 'tis when bringing the bark of my true love in safety.
Harbor in the island in the Spanish seas are the tiny white houses and the orange trees, and day long, night long, the cool and pleasant breeze of the steady trade winds blowing. The red wine, the nutty Spanish ale, the shuffle of the dancers, and the old salt's tale, the squeaking fiddle, and the soughing in the sail of the steady trade winds blowing. The fireflies and the yellow moon, and in the ghostly palm trees the sleepy tune of a quiet voice calling me. The long, low croon of the steady trade winds blow.
By agreement, my Lord Brouncker called me up, and though it was a very foul, windy and rainy morning, yet down to the waterside we went. But no boat could go, the storm continued so. My Lord and I, the wind being again very furious, so as we durst not go by water, walked to London, quite round the bridge, no boat being able to stir. And Lord, what a dirty walk we had! And so strong the wind, that in the fields we many times could not carry our bodies against it. It was dangerous to walk the streets, the bricks and tiles falling from the houses, that the whole streets were covered with them, and whole chimneys, nay, whole houses in two or three places, blowed down. But above all, the pales on London Bridge on both sides were blown away, so that we were fain to stoop very low for fear of blowing off of the bridge. We could see no boats in the Thames afloat, but what were broke loose and carried through the bridge, it being ebbing water. And the greatest sight of all was, among other parcels of ships driven here and there in clusters, one was quite overset, and lay with her masts all along in the water, and keel above water.
No one can tell me, nobody knows, where the wind comes from, where the wind goes. It's flying from somewhere as fast as it can. I couldn't keep up with it, not if I ran. But if I stopped holding the string of my kite, it would blow with the wind for a day and a night. And then when I found it wherever it blew, I should know that the wind had been going there too. So then I could tell them where the wind goes. But where the wind comes from, nobody knows.
All day a strong wind blew across the green and brown from Kerry, the leaves hurrying two by three over the road, collected in chattering groups, new berry dipped with old branch. Careful insects flew low behind the hedges. Held back by her pretty petticoat, butterflies struggled. A bit of paper on which a schoolgirl had written, "Moira loves Jimmy," jumped up into a tree. Tapping in haste, the wind was telegraphing hundreds of miles. All Ireland raced.
Thank you.
Now here's the forecast for tomorrow. It will be clear tonight and early tomorrow in nearly all parts of the British Isles. There will, however, be isolated showers tonight in Northern Ireland and in Western and Northern Scotland. These will increase in weight and frequency during tomorrow and may be heavy at times. England, Wales and the remainder of Scotland will also have some showers later in the day, but with sunny intervals. These will be few in the southeastern half of England, and many places will have a dry day. Temperatures will be a little below normal for the time of year.
January brings the snow, makes your feet and fingers glow. February's ice and sleet, freeze the toes right off your feet. Welcome March with wintry wind, would thou wert not so unkind. April brings the sweet spring showers, on and on for hours and hours. Farmers fear unkindly May, frost by night and hail by day. June just rains and never stops, 30 days and spoils the crops. In July the sun is hot, is it shining? No, it's not. August cold and dank and wet, brings more rain than any yet. Bleak September's mist and mud, is enough to chill the blood. Then October adds a gale, wind and slush and rain and hail. Dark November brings the fog, should not do it to a dog. Freezing wet December then, bloody January again.
I hope that's been helpful to those of you planning your holidays.
John had great big waterproof boots on. John had the great big waterproof hat. John had the great big waterproof Macintosh. And that, said John, is that.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain.
this is the weather the cuckoo likes, and so do I. When showers betumble the chestnut spikes, and nestlings fly, and the little brown nightingale builds his best, and they sit outside at the traveller's rest, and maids come forth, spring muslin dressed, and citizens dream of the south and west. And so do I. Shepherd chants, and so do I. When peaches drip in browns and duns, and thresh and ply, and hill he tides throb, throw on throw, and meadow rivulets overflow, and drops on gate bars hang in a row, and rooks in families homeward go, and so do I.
The rain has come, and the earth must be very glad of its moisture, and the made roads all dust-clad. It lets a friendly veil down on the lucent dark, and not of any bright ground thing shows any spark. Tomorrow's grey morning will show cow parsley, hung all with shining drops, and the river will be duller because of the all-soddenness of things. Till the skylark breaks his reluctance, hangs shaking, and sings.
It rains, and nothing stirs within the fence, anywhere through the orchard's untrodden, dense forest of parsley. The great diamonds of rain on the grass blades there is none to break, or the fallen petals further down to shake. And I am nearly as happy as possible to search the wilderness in vain, though well, to think of two walking, kissing there, drenched, yet forgetting the kisses of the rain. Sad, too, to think that never, never again, unless alone, so happy shall I walk in the rain. When I turn away, on its fine stalk, twilight has fined to naught the parsley flower, figures, suspended still and ghostly white, the past hovering as it revisits the light.
Rain on the windows, creaking doors, with blasts that besom the green, And I am here, and you are there, and 100 miles between. Oh, were it but the weather, dear, oh, were it but the miles that summed up all our severance, there might be room for smiles. But that thwart thing betwixt us twain, which nothing cleaves or clears, is more than distance, dear, or rain, and longer than the years. It was my 30th year to heaven. Woke to my hearing from harbour and neighbour wood, the mussel pooled and the heron priested shore, the morning beckon, with water praying and call of seagull and rook, and the knock of sailing boats on the net-webbed wall. Myself to set foot that second in the still sleeping town and set forth. My birthday began with the water birds and the birds of the winged trees flying my name above the farms and the white horses, and I rose in a rainy autumn and walked abroad in a shower of all my days. High tide and the heron dived when I took the road over the border, and the gates of the town closed as the town awoke. A spring full of larks in a rolling cloud, and the roadside bushes brimming with whistling blackbirds, and the sun of October summery on the hill's shoulder. Here were fond climates and sweet singers suddenly come in the morning, where I wandered and listened to the rain ringing, wind blow cold in the wood far away under me. Pale rain over the dwindling harbour, and over the sea-wet church the size of a snail, with its horns through mist, and the castle brown as owls. But all the gardens of spring and summer were blooming in the tall tales beyond the border, and under the lark-full cloud. There could I marvel my birthday away, but the weather turned around. It turned away from the blithe country, and down the other air, and the blue altered sky streamed again with a wonder of summer, with apples, pears, and red currants. And I saw in the turning so clearly a child's forgotten mornings, when he walked with his mother through the parables of sunlight, and the legends of the green chapels, and the twice-told fields of infancy that his tears burned my cheeks, and his heart moved in mine. These were the woods, the river and sea, where a boy in the listening summertime of the dead whispered the truth of his joy to the trees and the stones and the fish in the tide. And the mystery sang alive still in the water and the singing birds. And there could I marvel my birthday away, but the weather turned around, and the true joy of the long dead child sang burning in the sun. It was my 30th year to heaven, stood there then in the summer noon, though the town below lay leaved with October blood. Oh, may my heart's truth still be sung on this high hill in a year's turning.
Stooping over London, skies convulsed with thunder moved. A rumour of storm remote hushed them, and birds flew troubled. The gradual clouds up from the west climbing, above the east glowed sullen as copper embossed. Against their gloom, like ghosts astonished, thronged the steeples white. Still, with absorbed hurry, the street's uproar ran, shadowed by strange unquiet, as vaguely pursued. Lone workers from drear windows looked and sighed. Nearer drooped the sky's contracted face, the face of a titan in punishment heavily bowed. As painful sweat, the drops fell loud. At last, with silent shivering flashes of angry flame, long stifled, his deep thunder burst and groaned. Then, crawling over, the banks of darkness broke, and loosened splendour showered its arrows abroad. Now, opposite the retreating storm aghast, in full recovered sun, new dazzling clouds, Alp beyond Alp, glitter in awful snow. Men stop in the street to wonder. The brilliance runs, washing with silent waves the town oppressed, startles squalid rooms with a sudden smile, enters gloomy courts and glories there. Strange as a vision, the wide expanded heavens open. The living wind with nearness breathes on weary faces of women of many cares. They stand at their doors and watch with a soothed spirit the marvelous west asleep in endless light.
bruise and crack your cheeks. Rage, blow, you cataracts and hurricanoes. Spout till you have drenched our steeples, drowned the cocks, you sulphurous and thought-executing fires, vaunt couriers to oak-cleaving thunderbolts, singe my white head. And thou, all-shaking thunder, smite flat the thick rotundity of the world. Crack nature's moulds, all germins spill at once that make ingrateful man.
Thank you.
The hills step off into whiteness. People or stars regard me sadly. I disappoint them. The train leaves a line of breath. Oh, slow horse, the colour of rust, hooves, dolorous bells. All morning, the morning has been blackening. A flower left out. My bones hold a stillness. The far fields melt my heart. They threaten to let me through to a heaven, starless and fatherless, a dark water. The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbour and city on silent haunches and then moves on.
I was a stranger in the city, out of town were the people I knew. I had that feeling of self-pity. What to do, what to do, what to do? The outlook was decidedly blue. But as I walked through the foggy streets alone, it turned out to be the luckiest day I've known. A foggy day. London town had me low, had me down. I British Museum had lost its charm. How long, I wondered, could this thing last? But the age of miracles hadn't passed. Oh, suddenly I saw you there, and through foggy London town the sun was shining.
Grown used to New York weather, all too familiar with smog, you, her unsullied sister, I'd quite forgotten, and what you bring to British winters. Now native knowledge returns. Sworn foe to festination, daunter of drivers and planes, Volants, of course, will curse you. But how delighted I am that you've been lured to visit Wiltshire's witching countryside for a whole week at Christmas. That no one can scurry where my cosmos is contracted to an ancient manor house and four selves joined in friendship. Jimmy, Tanya, Sonia, me. Outdoors, a shapeless silence. For even those birds whose blood is brisk enough to bid them abide here all the year round, like the merle and the mavis, at your cajoling refrain from their jocund interjections. No cock considers a scream. Vaguely visible, treetops rustle not, but stay there, so efficiently condensing your damp to definite drops. Indoors, specific spaces, cozy, accommodate to reminiscence and reading, crosswords, affinities, fun. Refected by a sapid supper and regaled by wine, we sit in a glad circle, each unaware of our own nose, but alert to the others, making the most of it. For how soon we must re-enter, when lenient days are done, the world of work and money, and minding our P's and Q's. No summer sun will ever dismantle the global gloom cast by the daily papers, vomiting in slipshod prose the facts of filth and violence that we're too dumb to prevent. Our Earth's a sorry spot, but for this special interim, so restful yet so festive, thank you, thank you, thank you, fog.
The north wind doth blow, and we shall have snow, and what will the robin do then, poor thing? He'll sit in a barn and keep himself warm and hide his head under his wing, poor thing. The north wind doth blow and we shall have snow, and what will the swallow do then, poor thing? Oh, do you not know that he's off long ago to a country where he'll find spring, poor thing? The north wind doth blow and we shall have snow, and what will the dormouse do then, poor thing? Rolled up like a ball in his nest snug and small, he'll sleep till warm weather comes in, poor thing. The north wind doth blow, and we shall have snow, and what will the honeybee do then, poor thing? In his hive he will stay till the cold is away, and then he'll come out in the spring, poor thing. The north wind doth blow, and we shall have snow. And what will the children do then, poor things? When lessons are done, they must skip, jump, and run until they have made themselves warm, poor things.
When men were all asleep, the snow came flying, in large white flakes falling on the city brown, stealthily and perpetually settling and loosely lying, hushing the latest traffic of the drowsy town, deadening, muffling, stifling its murmurs failing, lazily and incessantly floating down and down, silently sifting and veiling road, roof, and railing, hiding difference, making unevenness even, into angles and crevices, softly drifting and sailing. All night it fell, and when full 7 inches it lay in the depth of its uncompacted lightness, the clouds blew off from a high and frosty heaven, and all woke earlier for the unaccustomed brightness of the winter dawning, the strange, unheavenly glare. The eye marveled at the dazzling whiteness. The ear hearkened to the stillness of the solemn air. No sound of wheel rumbling, nor of foot falling, and the busy morning cries came thin and spare. Then boys I heard, as they went to school, calling. They gathered up the crystal manna to freeze their tongues with tasting, their hands with snowballing, or rioted in a drift, plunging up to the knees, or peering up from under the white mossed wonder. "Oh, look at the trees," they cried. "Oh, look at the trees." With lessened load, a few carts creak and blunder, following along the white deserted way. A country company long dispersed asunder. When now already the sun in pale display, standing by Paul's high dome, spread forth below his sparkling beams and awoke the stir of day. For now doors open and war is waged with the snow, and trains of somber men, past tale of number, tread long brown paths as toward their toil they go. But even for them, a while no cares encumber, their minds diverted, the daily word is unspoken, the daily thoughts of labour and sorrow slumber at the sight of the beauty that greets them, for the charm they have broken.
The snow will bring the world indoors, the fall that saves the Gulf Stream and the Greenland Shelf. White abolitionist of maps and calendars, its Lenten rigor pillowed like a sin, it means to be the only season, falling always on itself. To put an end to all analogy, pure cold that proves what it need never say. It calls us home again, beneath a drift in which the figure and the ground collapse. No more redundancy. No more perhaps. Look at these attic windowsills. Look in the grate. White after white against the off-white sheets. The wafers of a pitiless communion that turns the wood to Mother Russia and the night to afterlife and then to a snow-blind street. With cataracts and snow-tipped breasts, the mermaids in their brazen lingerie wait bravely at the fountain in the square. Green girls, they think it is their destiny to offer the ideal to empty air. Forgive me that I did not understand that you were actual, not merely art. That your fidelity was courage, that I failed to honour you, to recognise your pain. To grasp that snow, once fallen, will not fall again. Now it grows clear. The world is not a place, but an occasion, first of sin, and then the wish that such self-knowledge may be gratified, while snow continues falling, till we learn there will be neither punishment nor grace.
Snow is sometimes a she, a soft one. Her kiss on your cheek, her finger on your sleeve in early December, on a warm evening, and you turn to meet her saying, "It's snowing." But it is not, and nobody's there. Empty and calm is the air.
Sometimes the snow is a he, a sly one. Weakly he signs the dry stone with a damp spot. Wayfish he floats and touches the pond and is not. Treacherous, beggarly, he falters and taps at the window. A little longer he clings to the grass blade tip, getting his grip.
Then how she leans, how furry fox wrap she nestles, the sky with her warm and the earth with her softness. How her lit, crowding fairylands sink through the space silence to build her palace, till it twinkles in starlight. Too frail for a foot, or a crumb of soot.
Then how his muffled armies move in all night, and we wake and every road is blockaded, every hill taken and every farm occupied, and the white glare of his tents is on the ceiling. And all that dull blue day, and on into the gloaming, we have to watch more coming.
Then everything in the rubbish-heaped world is a bridesmaid at her miracle. Dunghills and crumbly dark old barns are bowed in the chapel of her sparkle. The gruesome, boggy cellars of the wood are a wedding of lace, now taking place.
Neptune, the mystic from Holst's suite The Planets, played by the Halley Orchestra, conducted by Mark Elder. Ending tonight's edition of Words and Music, reflecting 85 years of weather forecasts on the BBC. Niamh Cusack and Mark Strong were the readers. The programme was produced by Elizabeth Fanning.